All right, so back in November.
Let's kick it.
There was a job that many people were up for, that 12 people ended up getting, that was not one of the top jobs in America. And those 12 New Yorkers that ended up with the gig, their job simply was titled juror. They were the jurors in the El Chapo case.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Go ahead.
Count me out. I am doing everything I can to get kicked out of that jury summons or whatever that cattle call is on day one.
I agree. It ended up being 7 women and 5 men, along with 6 alternate jurors, 4 women and 2 men. They were going to spend, they were told, the next 3 to 4 months hearing the testimony regarding the sordid details of El Chapo. They said it would the actual final 12. It was a wide range of ethnic backgrounds, including at least 3 immigrants, 4 Spanish speakers, ranging from native fluency to a juror who said that she used to converse, quote, with a Mexican guy who lived with me. And obviously the judge wanted to protect the jurors. He wanted to protect their anonymity. And so what he did was, is whenever they rolled in, like Danny said, cattle call wise, he held the selection process in an empty courtroom, which is rare, open only to the following: prosecutors, the defense team, and a pool of 5 reporters perched in the jury box. Also there, El Chapo. And so all of these potential jurors who were being interviewed, every single one of them, each time they were spoken to, here comes the defense team, mm-hmm. and sitting next to the defense team, there is El Chapo in his nice button-down shirt with his sweet mustache just staring at you,
mm-hmm.
feet away, as they're flying away with the questions, and he's sitting there with his interpreter, and the interpreter, he was just calmly listening to him. Every now and then he would say something, but he rarely ever spoke. But just imagine the absolute freak out that you would have when you roll in there and you're like, what?
There were people that that were so adamant about not wanting to be on the case that they would say, how dare the U.S. government waste money having the trial here in this country? Basically, he's Mexican and he was extradited. He should have been tried in Mexico, not here. That was a common thread, and they would say that it's such a waste of money. And just toe that line to where they're compromised. It's like this, you already have this preconceived notion, so we can't pick you. People were doing whatever they could to get off of this jury.
One of the women said that she was so scared that she went home and she didn't know what else to type in. And so she ends up typing into a Google search El Chapo's name alongside the quote, kills jurors. And she said she found an article in which El Chapo's lawyers had pledged, they had to say this openly, that hey, no matter what happens, we're not going to kill any jurors. Just the fact that you had to say
that.
You had
to qualify that.
Yes. Hey, look, it's all
good,
man.
You guys are
going
to be fine.
We're not going to kill anyone.
Whatever you decide, we're going to be okay with
yes.
it. Not to mention the security that was this. So this thing was tried in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In a courthouse in Brooklyn. And you had armed U.S. marshals, other security guards patrolling the courtroom during the selection, Homeland Security agents with assault rifles, bomb-sniffing dogs, snipers. It was insane.
Yeah.
Not even for the trial.
It was
just for the jury selection.
Right.
You had that type of security.
It was like being, I mean, you were basically imprisoned. You had people saying whatever. You know, the company line was always about, oh my gosh, why is this man here? Why couldn't they do this in Mexico? This
right.
man doesn't belong here. And like Danny said, that's just the line that everybody was passing down. Like, hey, if you say this, you're probably going to get out of it.
Yeah.
So if you bitch like that, you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
But people were making up stories left and right. Like you always put on your jury summons, you can't read or write.
Yeah.
Like
until
you
I
check
get out
the
of it.
Can't read.
Yes. Can't read or write.
You haven't served in how long?
Ever.
Unbelievable.
It's every jury summons I've ever had, when I got my first one, right away I started looking for my out, and I got to, can you read or write? I just went, there it is. No.
That's unbelievable. It's worked every time.
That's illegal. Yeah. That's got to be illegal, because you can read and you can write.
But why do they put that on there if you're sitting there with that thing?
They're assuming that you, being a citizen and a registered voter, you're going to be honest.
Yeah, but they
not
also...
a big fat liar, Michael Cohen.
Why do they send that thing? If you're looking at it and you can check the box, you can read.
Maybe you got somebody else to read it for you.
Okay, so you're sitting there at your house, and you're like, hey, sweetie, can you read this to me? I mean, is there anybody out there that's doing that?
When you sent it back, did you sign it with your mark? Just an X?
No, I wrote my name with my left hand.
Michael.
And it was not legible.
It's all very calculated. So, one of the five media members or media outlets that was there during the jury selection was Vice. And Vice wrote this long article about what ended up being Juror 73. And she was one of the last ones to actually get out of that jury pool.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with being a juror on something, it's one thing to be a juror on some sort of big salacious murder trial or drug trial or something like that. But when your life is... we've all seen those movies before where you can't hide. They'll find you.
Yeah.
They know everything. They know where you are. They know who you are. You gotta be freaking out. They said that one time, despite all of that security...
This is chilling. That this happened.
And I don't really understand how something like this could happen. Someone just barged into the juror room, just blasted through there, and was looking around at him and was like, how do I become a juror? What do I got to do to get,
on this jury? Let me on this jury.
Yeah, I want to do this. Meanwhile, the whole roof is attacked, with snipers and the guard gate and people on the inside, and yet guy just blasted through there and was like, yeah, this is, I'm in on this. I want to do this.
Like, clearly disturbed.
Right. She said, I knew, the juror said, I knew he was a drug lord, but the reason he got into what he got into is because of necessity. They come from nothing and they had to make a living and where he's from, and I guess that was it. And so it's hard. It's all human. We're all trying to live our lives and do the best we can. I actually felt some sympathy toward him, which all along, that's why they couldn't try this case anywhere around here.
Yeah.
Obviously, anywhere south of here, because you do have the sympathy for El Chapo, because he's kind of the, and you saw Narcos.
Oh my God.
Like the buildup of him. Is he truly to the Tony Montana, the guy, the everyman worker that just kind of rose through the ranks?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, he actually was in the first season of Narcos Mexico, and he was just kind of like a henchman.
Yeah, he was a worker bee.
He was a driver.
Yeah.
But the next season, I believe, is going to show his rise to power. And what I did understand about him is if there needed to be something done, he wouldn't delegate it to a hitman. He'd do it himself. And it really set the tone as far as his... he was willing to get his hands dirty. Yeah. And it really set the tone for the rest...
with his bosses.
For the rest of his organization that looked up to him was like, oh my God, if this guy's willing to get dirty... we better not screw up.
I think if I walked in there...
And made them incredibly loyal to him as well.
If I ended up walking in there and seeing you sit down, and then all of a sudden, you still really don't know what's going on. You're like, wow, it's quiet in here. Why are there reporters in here? And you're still just kind of thumbing around and looking at your phone. And then suddenly you sit down, and across from you up steps the defense team or the defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And would you recognize El Chapo immediately?
100%.
I would too. And at that moment, man, I would freeze. Like, I don't even know if I'd be able to lie in a situation like trying to get out of that, knowing that he's right. I don't even know what I would do. And I think they said that a lot of these jurors were that way. They were so freaked out in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That typically in another case, that they'd be like, yeah, whatever. I hate whoever from whatever country's being tried. You can just say anything you want, you'll get out of there. I hate drugs. Yeah, I'm anti-kidnapping for sure. Count me out. I'm done. I want this guy going up the river. But once you see that guy, that face in front of you, that face of terror, I think that like the common thing to do is freeze.
I don't know.
You think you'd be able to just be like, nah, don't like Mexicans. Get me out of here.
I don't know. I would hope that I could maybe come up with something a little more creative or clever to escape serving on that jury.
The funny part in here is this Vice article is that a Michael Jackson impersonator was going to be on this jury pool, and they decided that, or on this jury team, and they decided that it was going to be too much of a distraction. A guy that looked identical to Michael Jackson in 1985 was going to be on this. But they just decided it was going to be too much of a scene.
One guy dressed like him and everything?
Oh, yeah. One guy walked over and asked for his autograph.
El Chapo's?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the article on Vice on the juror 73, she said had she been asked, she said she would have served, but obviously relieved that she got excused. But she recalled a young Spanish-speaking woman who was chosen instead of her. Quoted her as saying she just said if she gets picked she wouldn't ever be able to go back to Mexico again.
Yeah.
And he knows your face. They're looking right at you.
And then remember,
it's part of the process. It's part of their rights is to face their accusers, I guess, sure. Or their
whenever he was convicted. Them. Whenever he was convicted too, remember the judge went one by one, juror by juror, and said on each count, which he was convicted on all counts, are you sure? Are you, juror number whatever, are you sure about this? And they had to look him in the eye, the judge and El Chapo, and say, yes, I am sure that this man is guilty of whatever the case may be. I'm out.
So they screened all these jurors and to kind of cull them down to a manageable group, and then they sent a questionnaire that was 43 pages that you had to fill out. I mean, it's a wonder that cases ever go to trial with the amount of detail that has to be paid attention to, especially in these larger, higher profile cases. And you have to be so sensitive to every little detail to make sure it's fair for the defendant. That I don't see how. It's
something like this.
It's no surprise that to get a court date for anything, it takes like a year.
I know.
The dockets are so backed up, man.
It's crazy, man. But that is definitely, that was the worst gig of the last 4 months for sure. Ain't nobody want that.